Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Mark. We are continuing in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read the first part of Mark chapter 3 also, because these three vignettes really go together. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 and reading through verse 6 of chapter 3. This is God's word. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. Now the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus didn't always get along with people. And the people who especially found Jesus problematic were the religious professionals. The people who had worked so hard their whole lives to follow all the rules. Nobody really keeps God's law. We try to rationalize it, and we try and make it so that what we're doing is okay. One way we do that is by coming up with additional rules ourselves that we find easier to keep. These folks had been doing that for generations. And rather than studying the scriptures, many of them focused on their laws, on the things that had been said by the various rabbis in trying to interpret the law. It is said that Martin Luther told his students, "Read the Bible. It will shed considerable light on the commentaries." Well, it's okay to read what those people say, but don't lose sight of the text. Don't lose sight of the scriptures. Jesus and his disciples were not fasting when John's disciples were fasting and the Pharisees were fasting. Now, the Pharisees didn't even like John and his disciples. They were not followers of John. When Jesus asked them on another occasion, John's baptism, was that from God or from man? They wouldn't answer. And the reason was because they said, if we say it was from God, then Jesus is going to say, then why didn't you get baptized? But if we say it was from man, we'll be in trouble with the people because they all view John as a prophet. So they said, oh, we don't know. These were not followers of John who asked the question. It was the Pharisees who asked the question, and they tried to exert some additional credibility by including the disciples of John. They're fasting too. We're fasting, they're fasting. Why aren't your disciples fasting? And Jesus answered in a surprising way. He said, because the guests of the bridegroom can't fast when they're with the bridegroom. In other words, there's a party going on. And the reason for the party is because Jesus is now on the scene. At the beginning of John's gospel, we read that Jesus went out and what he preached, we need to remember this, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. They didn't believe that Jesus was the king. Therefore, they did not believe the kingdom had come among them, and they definitely didn't see it as good news. But that didn't change the reality. Jesus is the king, and he bringing the kingdom to people, and that's why there were all these healings taking place. That's why the power of Satan was being crushed. Demons were being cast out. Wonderful things were happening. Why? Because the king is on the scene. And so Jesus told these religious people who were busy fasting, the day will come when my followers will fast, when the bridegroom is taken from them. What's he talking about? Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. Jesus knew he was going to be crucified because these guys he was talking to were going to demand it. He knew what was coming even though they didn't. He knew that in their heart, even though they hadn't launched the plot yet, they were out to kill him. And at the end of the third story, we see that happening because they've had it up to here. Their problem is not just that Jesus is doing things differently. The problem is Jesus is not doing things their way. Shame on them. But isn't that sometimes our problem too? Listen to our prayers. Do we really want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth? Well, as long as it's what we envision. If I'm sick and I'm praying for God to heal me and it's not happening, I'm thinking, okay, well, if I sinned, what have I got to do in order to get God to do what I want? Right? I mean, if I'm not getting what I want, then we've got to realign this thing, and I'll do what I have to do in order to get God to work for me and do what I want. That's a problem. So on the one hand, I want you to see that what these people were doing was evil. It was wrong. But I don't want us to miss the fact that all of us have that same innate tendency to approach God as someone who we need to learn how to manipulate. Now, I know none of your children have ever been manipulative. But you may have seen someone else's child who had that trait, okay? And it could even be sweetness, you know? But basically, the motive was to control the big person. That's the goal. And so I'm going to do what I have to do in order to get what I want from you. I still want to run as much of the universe as I can. That's human nature. It's sinful. And when we see that in ourselves, we need to repent. Well, that was what was going on here. And Jesus not only told them, the reason my disciples are not fasting is because the bridegroom is here. He was revealing who he is. He was letting them in on the secret that the king is now among them. And so then Jesus said this, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. I get to teach this to the kids at the ranch, and they have no idea what we're talking about. Shrunk cloth, unshrunk cloth, what are you talking about? Unshrunk cloth is something that used to be very common, and wearing your clothes until it developed holes was also common, okay? People weren't as affluent, and they weren't always going out and buying stuff, and if you went to the store, you did not expect to find jeans that had rips and tears already in them that you pay more for now, okay? So the idea was, if the cloth shrinks and then wears through and you want to patch it, it's important that you sew a patch of cloth that has also already shrunk. Because if not, if you sew a patch of unshrunk cloth onto a garment that has already shrunk, then when you wash the patched garment, that patch is going to shrink, and it's going to make the tear worse. Jesus is saying something all of them understood, and most people today can't understand at all. It's like when I was preaching on an island in the Philippines that didn't know what sheep were, and I had to try and explain to them what sheep are, because Jesus talks about sheep. What Jesus is saying, you need to get these things to match, but then he switches the metaphor. And he talks about putting new wine in old wineskins, something all of us are familiar with. Okay, maybe not. What happens there? Well, the new wine, some people say when the Bible says wine, it's only talking about grape juice. Other people say no, when the Bible talks about wine, it's talking about fermented juice. Jesus makes it clear in this story that he's talking about both. New wine is unfermented. You put it in a wineskin, it's going to ferment naturally. When it ferments, it gives off a gas. That will expand the wineskin. Not a problem if it's a new wineskin. But if it is a wineskin that has already expanded because it previously was full of old wine, fermented wine, then when you put new wine in it, it doesn't have any more give, and it's going to burst, and you've ruined the wineskin, and you've ruined the wine. So Jesus, again, describing an image that they all understood just like that, says something that is the other end of the spectrum from what he just said about cloth. What he's saying is you can't fit the new into the old. You can't make old things capable of receiving the new, whether it's a new cloth or whether it is new wine. Jesus was saying, the king is here. And the old covenant is going away. The new covenant is being brought in. Just as Jeremiah prophesied the word of the Lord concerning the fact that keeping the law is never gonna do it. Because all of us are lawbreakers. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made it very clear. You may think you're keeping the law because you haven't murdered anybody, But if in your heart you hate people, you're a murderer. You may think you're keeping the law because you haven't actually slept with that other person, but if in your heart you've dreamed and fantasized about it, you're an adulterer. So what's the solution? Well, the king has come to bring in a new covenant. And in this new covenant, not only is he going to pay the penalty for our sin, but he's going to give us new hearts. We're going to get new hearts so that instead of hating God's law, we love God's law. We know that his way is best. We want to do his will. Do we always perfectly measure up? Absolutely not. But when we sin, do we say, hope I got away with it? Or do we say, oh, God, have mercy on me. I'm so sorry I did that. Please forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. I don't want to continue in sin. If you've got a new heart, you're not going to love sin. You're going to love Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Second story that Mark tells us is on a Sabbath when Jesus was walking through the grain fields. He had his disciples with him and they began just picking some heads of grain and rubbing them in their hands like that, tossing some wheat in their mouth. They weren't fixing a meal. They didn't have scythes that they were using to harvest that other guy's grain. They were just walking along on the Sabbath and grabbing a snack from the grain that was growing there. But the Pharisees saw it. They weren't following Jesus because they were his disciples too. They were following Jesus because they were looking for something to criticize. Did you know? If you're looking for something to criticize, you will always find something. It's absolutely true. If you want to focus on the negative, you can find something negative. These guys were not doing something wrong, but they were in the eyes of the Pharisees. They were working on the Sabbath. Oh, that's not work. They're not breaking a sweat. They're just walking along and pulling off some heads of grain and tossing it in their mouths. No. They are harvesting on the Sabbath. They are grinding grain. That is violating the Sabbath law. These guys had so many rules about observing the Sabbath. It was, choose, comical or nauseating. Okay? It was not grounded in God's law. It was not grounded in reality. It was just a bunch of rules. Man-made rules. Jesus did not keep them, and he set his disciples free from them. So when they asked him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? There are lots of things he could have said, but I love what he answered. Have you never read? That's what Jesus often said to these guys who prided themselves on being scholars of the law. Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. David did that. Well, David did some other things he shouldn't have done. Yeah, but this was not treated as one of the things he shouldn't have done. This was treated as an okay exception because he was in need. And so Jesus doesn't just say, you're forgetting the scriptures, you're forgetting the example of David. What he said to follow up was this, and this is crucial. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Why did God command Sabbath rest? He loves us. He loves us. Praise God. When God said, you are to celebrate the Sabbath by taking the day as a day of rest and worship and remembering every single week that I made it all. That was a gift. But he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He was telling them not only something about the nature of the Sabbath, but about the nature of himself. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Son of Man. They needed to recognize who he is, and they would not be giving God advice anymore. Another time, he went into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a shriveled hand. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And so they watched him closely. They watched to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Can't work on the Sabbath. So Jesus said to the fellow with the shriveled hand, excuse me, buddy, come over here. Come here. Turn this way. And then he healed him. Right? No. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, here, stand up in front of everybody. So he stands up. And Jesus asked them a question. And the question was, is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to kill on the Sabbath? And they remained silent. The question was too hard. It's not because they didn't know the answer. It's because they didn't like the answer. Jesus looked around at them, but fortunately, he never got angry. No, he got angry. We need to know that that kind of false religion angers God. You cannot possibly be more angered by evil than God is. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? They couldn't answer the question. So Jesus looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. The man stretched it out, and the hand was completely restored, and the Pharisees said, well, only God could do that. Is that what they did? No. The Pharisees then partnered up with their enemies, the Herodians, in order to figure out how they could kill Jesus. How they could kill Jesus. Jesus had just said, is it lawful to save life or to kill? And now they're going to plot to kill Jesus. What is wrong? Why would this happen? Because Jesus was bringing new wine, and it was going to blow the old system apart. There was no way that rituals could contain new life. There was no way that all these man-made rules could become the structure through which God would bring eternal life. Jesus is life. Jesus is truth. And he is the only way to the Father. Jesus knew those people are going to kill him. But Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus willingly laid down his life so that sinners like you and me would be saved.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.